Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to Breaking Beauty, the podcast all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. We're your hosts, Jill Dunn and Carlene Higgins.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast and our 200th episode. How do we get here, Jill?
I'm not entirely sure, but I'm very excited that we are here. It's a pinch me moment. And, you know, we have a different format for today because I'm here at the Dear Media headquarters in LA, and sitting right beside me is our wonderful producer, Michelle Harrison. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, ladies. Thank you for having me today.
I'm so excited to have you as our guest co-host.
I know.
And have you ever done this before on any of the shows you produce at Dear Media?
You know, a couple times.
Okay.
A couple times, but I'm really excited to talk beauty.
Yay. Okay, awesome. And of course, Carlene is here too. You guys just heard her. Carlene's face is on a giant monitor. She's dialing in remotely. But looking great. Her hair is fly. She just got a new haircut, guys, or a new color. Something's different.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm a Cali blonde this time. I was inspired.
Love it. Okay, so for today's episode, we're taking a bit of a beat. We're taking a minute to sort of like reflect on our 200 episodes. And, you know, we're going to take a look back at some of our most juicy moments. And there's been so many along the way. We were sort of like diving into our archives, figuring out what we were going to talk about today, what we were going to bring to you guys. And, you know, we're 200 episodes in, and I believe at least 4 million downloads at this point, close to it.
Definitely.
No, and I can't believe how we started. We were taking GarageBand audio editing lessons in like an Apple store. That seems like ages ago now, and recording in a public library. I mean, we toiled over doing like a narrative format. So, you know, we've evolved. We've come a long way.
Yeah. And on the upside, we do know how to edit our own audio now, if it ever comes to that. But Michelle, please don't go anywhere.
If I ever decide to leave.
Yeah. Please don't. Please don't. I cannot go back to the public library. You know, but in all seriousness, I think we can look back with so much gratitude. I have so much gratitude for you, Carlene, and all of the work that we do together. And I don't know how solo podcast hosts do it.
And guys, I'm drinking a Caesar to celebrate the 200. Do you know what a Caesar is, Michelle?
No, what is a Caesar?
It's basically a better Bloody Mary.
Okay.
Yeah. It's made with Clamato juice. It's very Canadian.
What is that the big difference? It's just Clamato? Mm-hmm. What is Clamato juice?
It's not vegan, guys. It actually has clam juice in it, but it makes it damn good. Hashtag officially damn good.
Yeah, and she's drinking out of a fancy crystal glass.
Sure am.
This is the type of drink you would drink at brunch, for sure. And thanks so much to Michelle, not only for sitting in today, but you just hold us down every single week.
Oh,
you're
stop.
The best. And
thank you.
You put up with all of our niggly little edits every week, and we
appreciate
you. You know, and most importantly, we also want to shout out our Breaking Beauty fam, our listeners who are so loyal, sending us DMs, tuning in from all over the world every single week, and they really make it all worth it.
All the warm fuzzies. We truly couldn't have imagined reaching this milestone and this many people, and it's our honor to connect about our love of beauty every single week. So today we're recapping some of our top juiciest moments from the past 200 episodes. from our most emotional moment doing interviews to our laugh out loud moments and more.
Yeah. And if you're wondering about that interview, you know the one. If you know, you know. We're going to be talking about that interview for the first time ever. So be sure you stay tuned for the whole episode. And so this is kind of like a reaction episode. So what we're going to do is we're going to play some clips and then we're going to talk through what we were feeling and thinking in the moment and maybe why it was important to us and why it did stand out. And so here we go. Without further ado, here are our top juiciest moments from Breaking Beauty, the last 200 episodes.
Well, ladies, 200 episodes, 200 guests, so many founders. I would love to know from you, out of everyone you've interviewed, what was the most emotional moment for you?
So anyone who knows MAC Cosmetics, I mean, they are the most iconic beauty brand in all of history and really changed the culture when it came to people working at the counter and acceptance and inclusivity to the MAC Viva Glam program. So every lipstick, the money goes back to Amphar. And I think by now they've raised over $500 million. They've just done so much for the AIDS community. And I remember this moment so vividly, sitting with Frank Toskin in his condo in Toronto. And by the way, he was really hard to get to because, of course, he's no longer with the company. So, you know, the PR wasn't able to help us out. And I thank Jill for doing the sleuthing. But it was such a touching and honest moment to hear him talk about the inspiration behind Viva Glam. So get your tissue ready. Here it is.
Back in the 80s, it was a very sad and dark time. And my very close friend was dying of AIDS. I was called into the hospital. They told me to put on a robe and a mask and gloves. And, you know, I went in and I was told to keep my distance. And I realized, you know, how horrible that must have been for him to be looking at these people, looking at him like a leper. And that ignited something in me, you know, an anger that I took with me. And it came to visit me later on. But I knew that someday that moment would inspire me to do something with that. Because it was a very sad time. It was a very dark time for our community here all over the world. It was a very dark time. And so, you know, his passing didn't go in vain. So I kind of attribute this success to John Lazoric, and very grateful that I had that I did something with that opportunity that I was offered. It was like a gift from John to say, you know what, I may not have the ability to do anything now, but Frank, take it forward and do something with it.
Okay.
Wow.
So I still get verklempt hearing that back now. I think that Frank truly is just one of those standout people in the beauty world who everything he did came from a place of passion and compassion, and it just paved the way in so many respects. But that story just being so personal, like, yeah, I needed a tissue in the moment and I was verklempt right now hearing it back again.
Yeah, and it makes me feel grateful as a journalist, and I know you felt the same way, for being granted that access and that, you know, that sort of vulnerability. I think was just such a touching moment for us in our careers. I remember walking out and both of us just looking at each other like, wow, that was a highlight of our career for sure.
I mean, it was a really amazing moment for me to hear. And I mean, even just looking back, I mean, it's a world of difference from the way that, you know, the AIDS community was treated mm-hmm. in the 1990s mm-hmm. versus now, look, in 2021. I mean, the conversation has changed so much. And I think that, you know, Frank and Viva Glam really paved the way for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're not going to make you cry in everyone, guys. Don't worry about that. So
next, I would love to cover a moment that I feel like was a real, real turning point in the Breaking Beauty journey in terms of, you know, getting these A-list guests while also capturing another monumental moment in beauty with the rise of indie brands. So with that, I would love to hear about your experience interviewing the legendary Emily Weiss from Glossier.
Yeah. So this was episode 11. It aired in October of 2017. And this was when we were still doing our narrative format. And therefore we had, and by the way, we were a monthly podcast at this time. Like, is that a joke? I think it's a joke. So we had a lot of time to produce them. And one of the things that I did producing this episode, there was a Glossier pop-up in Toronto for the first time ever. They were launching into the country. And so I went in line to meet the Glossier boys and girls and people and just understand why they were waiting in line for hours get a boy brow, because we just had not seen anything like that. So next up, you're going to hear from one of the shoppers who was in line. I brought my trusty field recorder with me that day, and people were stuck in line, so they had to talk to me. So here we have one shopper.
There's so much hype around Glossier. Like, what makes you sort of a believer in the brand?
Well, the products are so pretty and they really work and they make me feel like pretty and nice and confident, and it's all like cruelty-free and whatnot, and I really appreciate that. And it's like affordable.
Okay, I love this moment in our history because, first of all, this was pre-COVID, obviously, by a long time, because we were out there talking to strangers, you know, mic in their face. But I think, you know, what we really sought to do at the time with these founder stories was like put into context what was happening in our culture. And what Glossier had created was this fandom. You know what I mean? It was young people who were chasing it. And they were so excited when Glossier came to Canada. And that was kind of the moment that we captured. That was a lot of fun. And if we weren't a weekly, we could probably go out there and do more field reporting. It is super fun. So hopefully someday we'll get to do it again.
Yeah. And still to this day, 4 years later, I mean, there's still lineups around the block. You know, I went to the store in New York. It is a destination. It's a bucket list thing. You go to the Glossier store. And just in terms of us as a podcast, you know, Emily Weiss, there was no one bigger at the time, and I would argue more influential. And so when she agreed to do our podcast at only 11 episodes in, prior to that, I think a lot of people didn't really know about beauty podcasts. Yeah. It was a really new idea because that was the first year we launched. And once we had Emily on the microphone, lo and behold, everyone would agree to do our show. So thank you to Emily. And if there's another fun moment in that episode where I ask her about being on the hills and she reflects on that, and she actually was gracious enough to indulge my reality TV.
And I just love this girl waiting in line. And it's like affordable. It's just so funny.
She was so, so sweet.
So genuine.
Yeah. And there were a lot of people in line, all ages, all sexes, all races, and just feeling like they were part of that club.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
Well, she was one of those brands that was like truly the first like no makeup mm-hmm. look, but like in a chic way. Like there was brands doing it before, but it wasn't cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She nailed it.
She nailed it.
Still doing it.
Props to Emily.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you, ladies, that interview with Emily Weiss like really catapulted you into, you know, the top beauty podcast where you've remained for the last 3 years, just want to say. And I'd love to hear like what other guests do you feel like really got you to that next level with mm-hmm. the podcast and kind of opened the door for more opportunities that you didn't think you were going to cover.
Right.
Oh my gosh. I personally think when we got Makeup by Mario on the mic, that was another huge like feather in our cap moment. I was like, I always say behind the scenes, I'm like, I love a scoop. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be collaborative, but I do love a scoop. And I just felt like I think he hadn't done any podcasts at the time. Am I right, Jill?
No, he had done a couple.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He had done a couple, but it was still huge for us. You know, he had 6.5 million followers at the time. I remember that was sort of the biggest like influencer, if you will, at the mm-hmm. time. And just sitting down with him face to face, I remember thinking, you really like, I didn't really hear from him before that, his voice. So I just thought he was very serious and kind of like a Kardashian where they're like very unapproachable, but he was actually quite shy and gentle. And I just really, I mean, that's honestly one of the blessings of being a beauty journalist is getting to meet these people and understanding who they really are aside from like the screen that you see on Instagram. And we just really got that from this interview. And there's a favorite moment from that you're about to hear.
Just realized recently someone posted something on Instagram. It actually came from, there was like this comedian that would do these videos. Her name was Sho Cantel Brown or something like that.
Okay.
And I think that's where I maybe originally saw it or heard it. And then I started saying it in front of Chloe, and then Chloe started saying it, and then it would go on her show, and then it just became a thing after then Cardi started doing it.
Okay, do it for us one more time.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was so great. And a little behind the scenes moment is, you know, I think I've talked about before taking our show on the road. It's quite a nerve wracking thing. And we only had 15 minutes with him and we were in a private room at the Yorkdale Mall. He was in town with Philosophy. So we literally had such a short window. And he was like, he had like six bodyguards with him as well, like, which is another very interesting facet because he was doing like a public appearance after that. And little known fact is that he started talking. We started the interview and he's telling the whole story about how he did this. Oh, and all of a sudden I look down, the thing is not recording.
No.
So the whole first entire part of him telling the story is not recording, guys, because we had to like move our equipment twice. And I just looked down and I, Carlene's doing most of the talking. And the setup was also awkward because the mic was kind of, the recording device was like behind Carlene. I just reached over with my index finger and hit the thing like nothing happened. And Carlene was like, can you just say that one more time?
Just one more time, Rose. Oh, that's my worst nightmare.
So that's why I'm a little extra paranoid every time we get the show on the road.
But
he was amazing. Come back anytime. At that time, he still hadn't started his makeup brand, but now he has, and the products are amazing. So we'd love to talk to Mario again.
Open invitation, Mario. Yeah. Come on back anytime.
Exactly.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you in part by Fleur & Bee. So one of the changes that Jill and I have been clocking in the beauty industry is just how accessible skincare has become. Like, you can afford it now, which is great. It's all these indie brands that are coming up. And so I want to introduce you to one that's a little bit under the radar. It's called Fleur & Bee. Fleur & Bee is a 100% vegan and cruelty-free skincare line that uses all-natural botanicals without any parabens, sulfates, phthalates, GMOs, artificial fragrances, dyes, or gluten if those are things that your skin may be sensitive to. And if you're shopping for a brand that values sustainability, Fleur & Bee is there. They're made using sustainably sourced ingredients in recyclable packaging, and everything is produced using 100% renewable wind energy. How cool is that? I personally really like the So Clean cleanser. It's a beautiful everyday cleanser. A little bit goes a long way. It has glycerin in it, which is one of my favorite ingredients for keeping in moisture. It also has organic aloe and organic coconut oil, so my skin doesn't feel so tight after I wash. And if you want to make it on Santa's nice list this year, 1% of every sale goes to Days for Girls, which provides menstrual care and education to girls in need. I love that. To check out their product line, just head to fleurandbee.com. That's FLEURANDBEE.com. To sweeten the deal, you can use code BREAKING and get 15% off. Just head to fleurandbee.com. Again, that's FLEURANDBEE.com. We're going to link to that in our show notes and on our blog. You can place your order right now. And now back to the show.
Hello, beautiful people. It's Renee Blewett, and I am your host for the She Did That podcast. Have you ever wondered how your favorite women founders are building these beautiful brands and legacies? Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, already on your journey, or just someone who wants to learn from the best to ever do it, this is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll introduce you to powerhouse entrepreneurs, creatives, and innovators who are carving their own paths with love, resilience, and bold ambitions. Be sure to subscribe now so you don't miss a thing.
Well, getting a little bit more serious, let's talk about some of the unforgettable moments. And I want to tee it up specifically for the interview with Brandon Truex, founder of the Deciem.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, so this was episode 17. It originally aired in January 2018. And, you know, Brandon at the time, there was nobody buzzier. He had just created The Ordinary, the no frills, rock bottom prices. Everyone was obsessed. It was turning the whole industry on its head. And so in the clip that you're about to hear, he talks about how everyone was pissed off at them, how they were getting so much criticism, and what he did to sort of rally his team so they could continue on the journey of just kicking ass. Let's hear it.
When we started, I mean, I don't know if you follow, we had so many people against us. I have never seen this much negativity around the start in my whole life, because around all the other things, everyone was so positive. But even our own supporters, everybody was like, oh, it's a scam, or you've cut it, or you're using child labor, you're scamming this, why do you want to ruin other brands' lives? What? Every single criticism that you can think of came. And I remember I actually gathered the whole team in a room. Back then we were about 100 people. And I remember it was just basically a group meeting. And I said, guys, the next few months are going to be a really difficult ride. I just want you to take a deep breath at every point and just remember, kindness is free to give and it's free to take. And it's the most powerful medicine for everything. Doesn't matter who says what, doesn't matter what, we're doing the right thing that we think is true. We're not lying to anybody. Just always respond back with kindness. And it really was the most unbelievable, because that's how we got here. We got here through kindness, because so much bashing came in. And then slowly, what happened was the people who questioned actually became the biggest evangelists.
What an interesting Jones. Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just get goosebumps listening, because of course, you know, Brandon, his untimely passing was the year afterwards. And actually, we interviewed Brandon just, I think it was exactly a week before Christmas. And, you know, he came to a studio that we had rented and he was by himself. He didn't have a publicist with him, which we were kind of surprised about, and that he was available so quickly. And of course, the year after, everything changed. And when we interviewed Brandon, he was really at the peak of his career. Everybody wanted a piece of what The Ordinary was doing and the engagement that they were doing on social media. And of course, the next year, everything just changed and we saw, you know, his downward spiral. So I will never forget this interview, and it will always be close to our heart, because we really felt like we captured the essence of his genius at the peak of his career. And I'm so proud of that.
I mean, this was a really powerful episode to edit. And I would love to know from you guys, actually, because I wasn't there for the recording and I wasn't there for, you know, the pre-production, like knowing what was to happen, you know, in the year following, like how does that change your perception of the conversation you had with him, knowing that it was, you know, one of the last kind of public facing conversations he did have?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I just think about what could have been.
Yeah.
It's just like, he was just trying to do the right thing. And if he could only have shown himself that kindness that he talks about in the clip, and maybe, you know, I'm sure there were a lot of friends and family who tried to step in to help him, but that kindness that he speaks about, that really, when I listen back to that clip, I think, wow, like, what if he could just show himself that kindness? What things might have turned out differently.
Yeah.
And okay. I do think, you know, the brand has gone on. It's his legacy lives on today. It's more popular than ever. And he has changed the whole course of the industry, because there wouldn't be an Inky List without The Ordinary. There wouldn't be a Boots Ingredients without The Ordinary. There wouldn't be, you know, this whole boom of affordable skincare. It really all was out of his genius and his mind.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he changed the game forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to our next moment here, I distinctly remember getting the email about this person and having to like double check it, because I was like, there's no, how is this possible? Like, there's no way. So, I mean, ladies, like, can we talk about this viral moment with none other than Posh Spice herself? Like, come on.
Yeah, I still can't really believe it happened.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Carlene, do you want to take this one?
Yeah. I mean, we were probably just as surprised as anyone, but this was a viral moment for us. Victoria Beckham, I mean, she's a dream. She's a dream guest to get. And I didn't know how to feel going into the interview. You know, I was very much of the opinion that she was going to be kind of standoffish. And we interviewed Victoria with her business partner, Sarah Creel, for Victoria Beckham Beauty. And I thought maybe Sarah would be doing most of the talking and you know, probably Victoria would be very safe and watch what she was saying. And it was really just the opposite. It was the opposite of everything you've seen in the tabloids. She was so open and honest and allowed herself to be vulnerable. And I remember her talking about being bullied as a kid and overcoming that and always treating everyone with kindness. And those are the values she's instilling in her children. And I was just blown away. I honestly was just blown away. But Jill asked, I believe, if I'm remembering this correctly, Jill asked Victoria the question that the media and the tabloids just took and ran with it. And I couldn't believe the reaction after we aired that episode.
When we talk about Spice Girls, I don't talk about it that much anymore. But what I remembered as you were just talking to me about it and how we inspired lots of young women. You know, when I met Beyonce a few years ago, and she actually said to me, it was the Spice Girls that inspired me and made me want to do what I do and made me proud to be a girl and proud to be who I am. And when someone like Beyonce, who is so iconic and such a strong woman, says that she was inspired by the Spice Girls, you know, I think that that's quite something. You know, it's and with Victoria Beckham Beauty, it's not about changing who you are. It's about making the best, feeling inspired, feeling empowered, feeling strong.
Words to live by.
Oh my gosh. I remember at some point in the interview, she goes, spice up your life. And yeah. I almost, like, that was almost the end of me right there. Yeah. I just almost died in the moment. It was amazing.
And something I would add to that as well is just about the power of the ask. Because Carlene and I were going through our dream list of guests earlier in 2021. By the way, this aired in May 2021. I'm sure you caught it, but if you didn't, that's when it aired. Like, on our dream list, it's people who maybe have never done a podcast before, right? And I was like, Victoria Beckham, she's got a beauty line. Like, maybe she would. And we literally asked the PR. We just kind of put it out there. And then, like, 2 months later, they came, circled back on it. And they were like, yeah, actually, she's interested. And we're like, pardon so me. Cool. So the power of the ask, you never think that it maybe could pan out, but you just never know, right? And we are honored, like, so many of our guests, it was their first beauty podcast ever. And a lot of them was their first podcast ever. Anastasia crazy? Beverly Hills. Davis Factor was like, is this live? People didn't even know what a podcast was when we started out a lot of the time. So I am really proud of that too, that we managed to speak to a lot of people for the very first time. And I think that this format in podcasting really allows someone like Victoria to be less misunderstood.
Yeah.
She's a very misunderstood figure in the media. And these are her stories and her words. And I think that's, you saw that then reflected in the media. This was picked up. It generated like millions of traditional media impressions, right?
Oh, so absolutely.
I just love the podcasts allow people to sort of let their guard down and talk, right?
I mean, I was just shocked because she has that like, cool, I'm Posh Spice
ice exterior queen kind of thing.
Exactly, the ice queen thing. And then she gets behind the mic and she was so kind and warm and chill. It was just like not at all what I was expecting. And it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it also goes back to, and this goes back to our magazine days too, Jill, is one thing we really learned from like doing cover shoots and all that kind of stuff is these A-listers, they are kind. They are easy to work with. And people say that all the time about Kim Kardashian and people like the A-listers who you think are going to be divas. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the C and D-listers that are just like the absolute worst. and it's kind of like, maybe that's why you're a C-lister or a D-lister. Like, I mean, I'm telling you, there's just like, in addition to charisma, there's a level of just like professionalism and respect that helps them get more jobs and more jobs and more jobs and sends them to the top, you know? And I feel like that really hit home when we spoke to Victoria.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Well, switching gears to a extremely important moment for the podcast and for the Breaking Beauty community, I would love to hear a bit about your conversation with Oma Beauty founder, Sharon Shooter.
So some of my favorite guests, some of the juiciest moments for me have been with guests who kind of speak like TED talkers. Like some of them are just so inspiring with their words and just happen to be beauty founders. And one of those people is Sharon Shooter, and she's the founder of Oma Beauty. And, you know, she honestly could be like a politician or something. She just inspires you. And I felt like when we spoke to Sharon, you know, it was the year in progress of Black Lives Matter. And she, of course, with Oma Beauty, it's a cosmetics line for women of color. And she just is such an activist in the community. And I felt like when we spoke to her, what I walked away with was just looking myself in the mirror and saying, you know, am I doing right in my own life? Am I doing right in this podcast by, you know, sharing the mic and making spaces for more voices? And I think that was a powerful moment for me.
So people asked us, why do you think beauty in particular has become such a big arena for the Black Lives Matter conversation to play out versus other industries like decor, food? Like, we just felt like beauty just exploded.
Beauty is an industry where, why do you need another red lipstick, right? You don't need one. You're just buying it because you want one, right? It's a want industry. And I think it's a want industry built on brand equity and built on the perception. It's a very hype industry. It's also an industry where the consumers, especially in prestige beauty, are very engaged. You know, the prestige beauty shopper are like the entertainment fan. You know, they are very dedicated into this because they're truly passionate about this. And I think that is one of the reasons why it hit beauty so hard, because this was something that was coming and punching against a brand equity in a way. So beauty is that industry where the sales relies purely on that equity. And when you challenge that equity, they have to move. And the second part of it was, especially for us as a Pull Up for Change movement, the beauty influencers really came in and co-signed it. And that was very important because a lot of the beauty marketing is done by influencers. Influencer marketing is huge. So when influencers come up and they start speaking up, people follow. It's an industry that literally is influencer-led. Like if influencers say boycott, that brand sales tanks instantly. So it was a real threat to the dollar because one, it was threatening the equity and the voices, and every day new influencer was coming out saying, you better do it. So they knew it wasn't going away. It was just going to get bigger and bigger. Beauty industry loves a good drama. This was drama right there. They knew it. Like they were like, nah, this has the making to just become, if we ignore it, it's going to get bigger and bigger and become even more drama because the beauty industry loves a good drama.
Like, where do I sign up for this course? That's all I want to know. You know, college course led by Sharon Shooter. Let's go.
I know. I actually remember editing that episode and she's just so powerful. I remember being like, yes, yeah. Yes. Like oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I think what's really interesting and what struck me about Sharon is, to me, she's the future of the beauty business. Mm-hmm. We've talked to so many incredible founders who started their brands decades ago and they're all amazing and blaze trails in their own right. But Sharon is the future. And not only did she start Ama Beauty, but she also, you know, created Pull Up or Shut Up, where she's challenging brands way outside the beauty sphere to have that representation in the corner office. Like Carlene said, it's almost like she's creating a movement. It's well beyond lipsticks. And since we talked to her, she created a diffusion line for Ama Beauty, which means it's at Walmart stores now. She did a beauty fashion show with the makeup artist Sir John. She is doing the most. Absolutely. And we all have a lot to learn from Sharon. And I think a lot of industry executives were just lost in the Black Lives Matter movement. They didn't know what the f*** to do. And so Sharon is just like, you know, listen to me and we can make progress. We can make change. And I think that she's doing the work every day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Jumping in to share a word from one of our show partners, Neutrogena Canada. So looking back at all of these moments from the past 200 episodes, I think about all of the skincare pros we've had on our show. So that's brand founders and estheticians and dermatologists. And the one tie that binds is that they always, time and again, give the tip that we should all be wearing SPF every single day. And it's important to be wearing SPF 365 days a year because UV rays can get through clouds, fog, haze, and even when it's snowing, the snow can reflect and even increase the sun's burning rays. So wearing that daily SPF really is critical to health. And in fact, in Canada, melanoma is one of the most commonly diagnosed cancers, and it can affect anyone regardless of sex, age, or race. So SPF really is critical to health. And since wearing SPF every single day is crucial, you want to find a formula that you'll love to use. And for me personally, I love the Neutrogena Ultra Sheer Dry Touch Lotion Sunscreen SPF 30. I recommended it so many times on the show, and it goes on really well under makeup. That's what I love about it. I love that I never look shiny at all. So the Neutrogena Ultra Sheer Lotions and Face Mist Sunscreens provide safe, lightweight, non-greasy sun protection that's ideal for every day. They absorb quickly, leaving skin feeling soft, clean, and fresh with a shine-free and matte finish. Visit Neutrogena.ca for more information on the products. And you can visit melanomanetwork.ca for more information regarding melanoma prevention. Now, back to the show.
So 200 episodes, countless guests, countless founders. I think there's been so many moments for you guys that have been surprising or maybe not what you expected. I would love to know, like, what was the most surprising moment you've ever had in one of your interviews?
I think it was episode 136, which featured our guest Hoda Kattan from Hoda Beauty. That aired in September of 2020, I believe. We asked her just about this whole, I think there was such a, you know, we were in the thick of that girl boss, do it all culture, founder porn, I call it. And basically we asked her, you know, she's living in Dubai and living a fairly traditional life as a Middle Eastern woman, living there with her whole family in Dubai and really trying to, you know, abide by some more traditional values, but also, you know, she's running this multi-billion dollar business. Like, she's just killing it. So we basically ask her in this next clip, you're going to hear just about some real talk about what it's like to try to keep your family together and everything running smoothly in your personal life while you are creating a billion-dollar business. Let's hear it.
That was one of the hardest times of my life because I honestly thought that I was going to lose my marriage. And it was kind of hard because one of the most challenging periods. And I feel like people look at our brand now and, you know, they're like, oh, wow, you know, like this is kind of cool. Like, I could do this. And I'm like, no. Like, you need to be really patient and you need to know the nightmare that you're going to go through in order to get to this place where still it's not all peaches and cream, you know, but there's like, there is a long time of like, you know, so much sacrifice. I think the best way to describe it is just like every type of sacrifice. It's personal sacrifice. It's your health sacrifice. It's your relationships sacrifice. It's sacrifice on every single, you know, point. It's financial sacrifice. And that's really, truly what happens in the beginning of starting a business. And I don't think people are really always mentally prepared or, you know, whatever, prepared in every, in any aspect. And sometimes the relationships around you are also not prepared. And, you know, it can be a make and break moment for a lot of people. You know, I honestly became so depressed at one point. I think we launched a brand in 2013 and 2015. I became so, so depressed because of all the challenges of having, you know, with my marriage, to be honest. And my husband was always really kind, always would always give me like a lot of, you know, he always believed in me, but our relationship was definitely in a bad place. You know, we struggled a lot. It was hard. But, you know, I think one of the things that we did, which was really important for me was, you know, he was honest. He was always honest with me. I think the thing that made it the hardest, and as a female, I feel like it's important, is like, you know, I feel like as, you know, it wasn't necessarily the beginning part. I'm trying not to get emotional because I'm getting emotional talking about it. It wasn't necessarily the beginning part because that was hard. Like, he understood the sacrifice then. That was really challenging. But people don't talk to you about what to do when you actually start to be successful, right? Because all of a sudden, like the first 2 years, nightmare, right? That was hard. Getting the brand, like getting like actual cash flows into a place where we could like afford product. You know, like to buy actual product and to be like, you know, managing inventory and all those, like the nightmare that goes with running a business that you have to learn. But what happens when the business actually starts to take off? And that happened for us in 2015 a little bit, like towards the second half of 2015. 2016 is really when things changed. But in 2015, and you know, things started to get really challenging. And my husband actually joined us and he was really honest with me. He was like, you know, I'm struggling because I've always been the provider. And now all of a sudden I'm no longer the provider. You know, it's really yourself and it's the business. And even my father had a hard time with it. And I was like, this is not fair. It's so hard because men become who, when they're successful, you know, it's all of a sudden like they're celebrated. And for women, it's not that easy.
Ooh, that's another one.
Oh, I have tears in my eyes right now.
I know. She got me. I remember tearing up a bit when I was working on that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of Hoda now because there was a time, I think, in our podcast journey where we were interviewing a lot of influencers. And, you know, I don't want to slight anybody, but we definitely learned influencers have a way, you know, they're used to controlling their image. And so they very much want to control every word and every way that they look in terms of any content that you're putting out there together. And so what I loved about Hoda is that she just comes with this authenticity that is unquestionable. And that's what I learned that day when we interviewed her. And now I know why her fans love her so much and why she is the number one beauty influencer really in the digital space. She's just, she lets herself be vulnerable and just keeps going. She'll wear no makeup. She'll have full face of makeup. Like, I don't know. I just think she's incredible.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that was one of the blessings of COVID was that we were able to speak to her because she lives in Dubai. And I think the chances of us actually syncing up with her in the same city where she'd have an hour to talk to us were pretty slim, if not none, unless we were going to fly to Dubai to talk to her. So that was a silver lining, definitely one of my favorite interviews of all of last year.
Yeah, and she just made such a good point. And it's crazy, like just hearing that clip back, it reminded me, like I remember this episode of Sex and the City, Miranda says, like, you know, dating as a successful single woman, it's like a problem. Dating as a successful single man, it's an asset. Yeah. And it's just crazy how, you know, almost 20 years later, more than 20 years later, like women are still dealing with the same issues. All right. I've been excited for this one. I'm not going to lie. The moment everyone's been waiting for, the infamous interview with Dr. Barbara Sturm, which I think I can agree with you ladies. It was one of the tougher moments in the Breaking Beauty lexicon.
Yeah.
I would love to hear your reaction to that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think a lot of fans are probably have their ears perked up for this one because we got a ton of feedback in our Facebook and on our Instagram following our episode with Dr. Barbara Sturm. And, you know, we really didn't respond. And that's because after we do an interview, you know, we certainly don't want to drag anyone who's been on our show, but I think maybe it is time to acknowledge the elephant in the room. Something did happen, something that was unusual for us, which is in the middle of our interview, we started more than sensing the guests being really uncomfortable and very obviously annoyed with our line of questioning. And this was a really tough moment for us because we had to decide in the moment whether we were going to keep going with the interview or whether we were going to stop. And then after we finished the interview, we had to decide whether we were going to run the interview or not. So maybe we can play the clip and then talk about why we came to the decision that we came to.
How does that work though? Because I feel like, you know, and, you know, we're lay people here, but something like Botox, you know, you can't apply it topically, right? It doesn't, like, it wouldn't do anything.
No.
So how is it that the MC1 cream, you know, you were able to have some sort of tangible result from it without having to inject it into the skin?
If you would try it, you would know. That's what I can say to that. You know, of course, I haven't done clinical studies on it, but, you know, everybody's using it. Everybody is like, you know, needs their face for their career. They swear by it. So anti-inflammatory proteins are the key to healthy skin for sure, you know.
Mm-hmm. And right there, you're talking about the actual one that's customized to your own blood. It's like about $1,400. So it would set you back a bit because it is custom, right?
You know, I don't know why we're talking about it because you can't get it anywhere unless you come to Düsseldorf. Aren't you in Canada? Should we talk about my products, which are there for everyone?
Oh, we're definitely going to. We just wanted to understand the inspiration and
I told you all the inspiration I had about it.
Okay. Great. So we're gonna talk about the face cream now.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I think first and foremost, I want to say, I don't think we've ever talked about this because I think at the end of the day, that episode really speaks for itself.
Yeah.
But I will say in that moment, I was very grateful for all of my training on live television, which is just like, you keep smiling, you keep going. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You just keep going. And I think the other thing that's important to note, and a lot of people, I have read people say, why did you even run that? Because it is such a different tone from what we typically put out there. And the real talk was we liked the products. Carlene sent me a text when she got the first products before the interview and was like, it's love at first swatch.
I mean, I remember, because to your point, it was such a different tone than like your normal interviews. Mm-hmm. And I remember like editing it and actually calling you and being like, are we leaving this? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I just had to make sure. But yeah, it was so interesting because I feel like she just completely mistook you guys' genuine, you know, curiosity about how the technology works for almost like questioning if it worked.
Yeah.
And that was obviously not the intention of that question.
And I think just the other thing I would add is, you know, coming from an editorial background for Jill and I, you know, as editors, when you're editing somebody's quotes, you can sort of tighten the quote, but it's against journalistic integrity to change the fundamental meaning of the quote or the tone. So I felt like to cut all of that out would change the fundamental tone of the interview that did take place. And that's why I thought it was important to leave it in.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were asking questions that we would ask pretty much any founder. It was a bit of a shock and awe moment, I would say. I was a bit in shock. Yeah, I was definitely.
You got to think on your feet. You got to think on your feet.
Taken aback. Anyway, that's that. And
yeah, it was a moment in our history.
I'm going to tell you a confession. Use the product right to the last drop.
Yeah. All right. Well, at least it works.
Used it this morning.
Really?
Yeah, I did. But it's still the freebies, okay,
we're
guys?
Still believers.
We know, I know. But like, yeah, that was the thing. We were trying. We did like genuinely like the product. So there you go. Yeah, you have it.
That from the beginning.
I mean, just a side note for me, she just opened a big storefront like right by our office down the street. And I was just like, oh, I've heard such good things. Like, I'll stroll in.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, no, this is like my salary. I'm good. Okay.
Salary, spend it all on your
back
face.
To the ordinary for me. Well, ladies, switching gears as we wrap up this wonderful kind of reflection on the last 3-4 years, I want to end on a high note. So, like, what have been some of your favorite, funniest, laugh out loud, outrageous moments we've had on the show?
Yeah, there have been a few where I've been like, because I have such a loud laugh that I have to like sit back from the mic and I don't even realize I'm doing it sometimes. I'm like, huh? Anyway, so I love when we had on Lucky Bromhead. She's an incredible makeup artist and she's the Schitt's Creek makeup artist. It aired in February 2020. It was episode 106. And she's Catherine O'Hara's personal makeup artist. So she's in Catherine O'Hara's space all the time, and certainly when they were shooting the show. And just ahead, you're going to hear about how Lucky, the makeup artist, actually inspired a lot of Moira's the different voices. Let's hear it.
During the hiatus on the first season, I went home to British Columbia, and there's a bookstore in Penticton, BC that I went into. It looks like something out of a movie. It's like crazy secondhand bookstore. And I was just standing there and I happened to turn my head and there was this big pile of books and I see something called Foyle's Flavory. And I was like, what's that? And I just grabbed it, looked inside, and it was words that are real words, but they've fallen out of fashion or whatever. And it goes back to the 1800s, these words. Someone, this Foyle, I guess, Mr. Foyle, sourced all of these words. And they were just so strange and so many kind of obtuse meanings for things that I was like, this is incredible. And I just thought that she would enjoy the book. So I brought it back and put it in her trailer. And then she ended up using it a lot to kind of season some of the words that happen in the show.
Do you have a favorite word that she dropped, that Moira drops?
Bombalating is a great one.
What was the context for that?
I think she says something like, you can feel the room bombalating. I think it's like an upswing in energy.
I like that one.
And I love unasinous. I think that means, oh goodness, it's like an equally stupid idea. Yeah.
You're so good at doing the voice. It's so funny.
I loved hearing her doing it every day. I cherished every second of that. I can tell you that.
Oh my God. It's so good. It's so funny. And that show just lives on. It has a life of its own. And, you know, it's timeless. It really did. And I think it helped a lot of people get through the pandemic, frankly.
Oh my gosh.
Binge watching.
And it was so fun to hear about Lucky. I mean, we didn't include this clip, but it was so fun to hear about how they settled on her like smeared lipstick, all over her eyes look. It was just like so fun to hear the creativity that went into that.
Absolutely. And it's like Catherine O'Hara, she's not 20 years old, but she's still wearing that smoky eye and rocking out all those looks and her wigs, obviously.
Oh, the looks.
The looks, L-E-W-K-S. Okay. So that definitely made us laugh.
Well, switching gears to another funny moment. This was a topic we do not typically cover on Breaking Beauty, but wanted to get into a little bit of feminine health.
Yes. And it actually is one of our top performing episodes ever.
It is, yeah.
So this is episode 104 featuring Dr. Jen Gunter, who is the renowned OBGYN. And we ask her a lot about just vaginal health and taking care of down there. And toward the end, we sort of get a little more personal and, you know, let's hear the next clip.
We do? Wait, what?
Carlene is basically in this next clip, we're busting an old wives' tale. So let's hear it.
Is cotton underwear better? Should you? My mom always told me not to wear underwear to bed. My vagina had to breathe.
Have lungs. Your vagina doesn't have lungs. It doesn't need to breathe. Why does your vagina need to breathe and not your knee?
Right.
Why does your vagina need to breathe and not your ear?
But what about shapewear? Like, is that more likely to, I don't know. I'm giving you the real talk. Is it more
you
likely?
You wear shapewear to bed?
No. In general, like on a daily basis, is it more healthy to wear cotton underwear than like nylon filled shapewear? Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. So the only thing is polyester holds on to odors more than other garments.
Right. I'm dead. I still, like Carlene still goes back with the, but what about shapewear? Like you're still like, my mom must have been right.
That's precisely the point. She said it at the end, okay? Anybody who's ever worn a polyester retro fucking vintage blouse knows that your armpits are going to sweat through that shit. You're going to have big rings. You know why? Because your armpits need to breathe.
They need to breathe.
It's the same. It is the same logic. Her underwear. She just wasn't letting me have it.
She would not let you have
It's such a fun episode. I loved it.
I've made sure to make sure my knees are breathing.
Yeah,
ever since
exactly.
Then,
she also said to use Cetaphil to clean your lady parts. So multi-purpose there, guys.
Well, let's end off this funny roundup with someone else from the Dear Media family, Miss Lauren Bostick. I guess I should say Mrs. Lauren Bostick.
Yes.
Please tell me about that moment you had with her, because I don't think I've ever laughed harder when editing an episode. Like, I couldn't.
This is something that actually ended up on the cutting room floor for length, Michelle. And so we interviewed Lauren. It was episode 181, the second time we talked to her. This aired in July of 2021. And we were just asking her all about beauty gadgets and her general wellness routine. So this particular clip, she's talking about the Juve red light therapy panel that she has. It's kind of like a full length mirror. You lean up against the wall and what she uses it for.
Now, I know this sounds crazy, but we had Jesse Golden on our podcast and she was talking about yoni sunning. And it's when you sun your vagina and your butthole. Okay. And this is like a thing. It actually rejuvenates you. It's you guys can Google it. I think it's called like butthole sunning. And so right before I'm done, I'll just like bend over for a quick second and it gives you energy. And so like things like that, I love.
But like wait. Rejuvenate you like how? How? What kind of vaginal rejuvenation? Let's dig in.
Let's dig in. So Taylor, don't pop a boner.
Oh, God.
So what it does is your vagina and your butthole never get sun. It never sees sun. So when you get a little tiny bit of sun on those two places, it does something that rejuvenates you. And this is not like me saying this. This is scientific. You can go Google it. Maybe leave it in the show notes. And I'm not someone who lays in the sun. I think that for me it's very anti or it's very aging to my skin. I get hyperpigmentation. So to be able to just have the Juve and I'm naked when I do it, and then you can just bend over really quick.
I mean, why not? You're doing it anyway.
Have sex in front of it.
Is where you get no light. So I'm on board.
Oh my God.
That's the end of it.
Oh,
so I did Google it afterwards.
Jude, call me Jude.
Yeah, Y-O-N-I is how it's spelled, yoni sunning. I didn't really find a lot of, you know, anything in like the Journal of American Medicine about
you
this.
You don't say.
I think it's a, you know, perineum sunning is a definitely a niche trend.
Yeah.
But I love Lauren. She's always unfiltered and she makes me laugh every single time, like with her candidness. Like she doesn't give a fuck and I love that about her. And it's just perfect that she talked about that. And so we had to include it in this episode, even though it didn't make it into the original episode. Little bonus content, guys.
Yes. I was personally too scared to Google that on my work computer. So I just kind of took her word for it.
Love a B-side moment. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our juiciest moments of the past 200 episodes of Breaking Beauty Podcast. Here's to 200 more, not sponsored by Mott's Clamato.
And happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for listening. You can find details on every product mentioned in today's episode, along with our exclusive promo codes on our blog at breakingbeautypodcast.com.
While you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. Every episode will be delivered directly to your inbox, so you won't miss a single thing.
And get social with us. Let us know what you think of the episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Breaking Beauty Podcast.
And did you know we also have a private Facebook group? Just search Breaking Beauty Podcast chat room.
You can even leave us a voicemail at any time with questions or feedback at 1-844-227-0302.
And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast fix.
Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, where you can show us some love by writing a review.
See you next Wednesday.